9:30 on a Thursday morning, and as usual, I get to welcome in Brad Dunges from Dunges Family of Autos, home of the 995 Oil Change. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A little bit of rain coming in, but you know, it's warming up. At least we're out of that winter mode, and
yeah, it's
and
March
some
now.
Hopes of spring coming. You know,
it's
real
March.
Soon.
There's some buds on the trees, and despite all the cold weather, I do think spring is around the corner.
One sure sign we get to change our clocks ahead 1 hour this weekend. So you know,
is that here this weekend? Yeah, I didn't even see that. Okay, well, that'll come up again, I'm sure, next year.
Well, you know, how many cars automatically change their clock now? Or do
pretty much most of them do these days, but you know, at least the newer ones.
Yeah.
But we, you know, I don't know how many vehicles are on the road in America. You know, there's something like 40 million sold every year in new and used vehicles, so there's probably 300 million or something total, so I bet over half don't do it automatically.
Yeah, I would say, I know I can hit the button and get the automatic GPS time of my time zone, but then I have to manually bump it ahead 1 hour to get the daylight savings time part.
That's right.
Because there are states like Indiana that
don't
change. You know.
Yeah, it might not happen everywhere, but if your vehicle's not doing that, we'll be glad to help you with that. If you want to come on in, we'll help you next week change the time if you can't figure that out.
I think I can figure that out. But maybe, you know, if there are some folks that are technologically challenged that might need that help, and that's what you're there for.
You know, there's lots of screens on those cars right now, and just figuring out where it is to do that can be a challenge. But usually if you just hit the clock, it's right in there.
Exactly. And then that's why this program started. Rusty was in helping people solve those maintenance problems.
That's
whether
right,
it's
back a long time ago. And the cars have sure changed since then.
They sure have.
Back then were more about, we did some call-ins back then too, and there were questions a lot about maintaining your vehicle and how to get the most for it on a trade-in, stuff like that. And, you know, while we still talk about those things, those are critical, you know, so often now with customers, it is about the technology and safety stuff that the cars have. It's become a real part of our business.
Well, and because we've pair our phones to the car, and we get new phones every once in a while, or update to the existing operating system on the phone, and sometimes they need to be repaired or repaired either way.
Like the phones update and new operating systems or patches for certain things, cars do that now. There's hundreds of computers really in every vehicle now. Different operating systems are all computer controlled, all the way from your fuel injection system to monitoring your air pressure and your tires. I mean, it's all electronic, and so steering, braking often, those things are also electronic controlled.
Yeah, I cost you a little bit of money this past week. You had to give me a new pair of new tires.
Well, Tires for Life does that. Thank you for your business. I'm glad to have you, Charlie.
But it's just part of one of the great programs that you offer your customer, Q certification, Tires for Life, the things that they go beyond just here's your new car.
That's right. Well, that's something we try to add extra value to it. I mean, things like our 7100 limited powertrain warranty that you get at no additional cost when you buy a new vehicle from us, or you mentioned the Q certified used vehicles. Those are two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty vehicles. Almost every vehicle we have in the used car lot comes with that. There's a few that are outside of the miles limitation, but those, and we have certified vehicles from all our manufacturers, Toyota, Ford, and Lincoln. Those come with even more warranty enhancements and better coverage. So that's one thing you want to look at, and another way to add value so that you don't have out-of-pocket expense when you need to repair your vehicle in the future.
And that's just something that you've added, expanded Tires for Life. You've expanded some of the other programs. Give people an opportunity to kind of prepay some of their maintenance issues when they buy their car as well.
Well, you save a lot of money that way, too. I mean, if you bundle up, even with our great $9.95 oil change, if you bundle that up with our maintenance package called Drivers Plus, you got a lot of additional benefits that you can use through the life of your car, rental cars, air filters, eventually a discount on your next vehicle purchase. So, you know, there's additional value in a lot of that added additional stuff that can save you money over time. And that's what we're looking to do, is really not have these surprise things that come. We see people all the time that keep their vehicles out there many years, and a lot of times if they break at that point, it can cost you a lot or your vehicle's down. And so we try to get ahead of that with maintenance and just try to help you even out those unexpected expenses in the future.
Or if you're driving a Lincoln, you can even things out because you've got the cell phone number of that Lincoln specialist that's there to provide that concierge service to your
Lincoln.
That's right.
Line. Anything you need, just give Michelle a call. She's there to Lincoln. That is unique that you can call her and really interface with any part of the dealership, or you can come in and deal with us the traditional way. But with Michelle and with our Lincoln commitment program, you can give her a call. She can schedule your service. She'll even come pick up your vehicle and take it back to you for service. You know, whatever you need, parts, service, the body shop, or sales question, she's there to help you with any of that.
And I think that's just a commitment to service that continues the traditions that your grandfather started.
That's right. And I want to give a shout out, too, to the Lincoln people that were out there last Friday night at the Price Tower Gala, helping us shuttle people across from the tower to the big event. We had a couple of Lincoln Navigators over there, and it was really well received. It was a great event and really well attended, one of the biggest ones that the towers had. So thank you to everybody who attended that. Lots of stuff going on this time of year. Last weekend, of course, was the Washington County Livestock Show.
It was a great 3-day event, and thanks to particularly all the premium buyers.
Well, I think I wasn't able to be there Saturday night because of some conflicting sports events that my kids were going to. But
Rob was there in your stead.
We had some representation, and definitely I hear it went really well. And that's so key that people come out and support those the people that show the animals, those young people around here need that in order to get the animal for next year. And, you know, I know a lot of kids that showed animals, and it's great to see their success and how that works for them. And we had a great example of that on the show last week. She was pretty impressive, I thought.
I got the opportunity to speak to her mom at the premium auction a little bit, thanking us, you indirectly, for spotlighting the livestock show. Your commitment to youth in the area.
Well, excellent. And we do have some guests with us today. I've got Judge Russell Vaclaw and Kelly Becker, who's a local pastor and a board member of the Oklahomas for Equality. And welcome, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Well, sure. So we've got you, Russell, you've got a lot going on in the community. You always have stuff. You're a local judge, but you've become known for doing some stuff in the schools around bullying and, you know, kind of to really shift gears here, tell us about that and what...
Rotate the mic just a little bit.
What has driven your passion on that?
Well, years ago, I'd say about 10 or 11 years ago, I was seeing a lot of kids coming into court for my protective order docket. And that's the docket where someone says I'm being pursued or attacked or abused, whatever, asking for help. And they were all teenagers. Mostly, strangely enough, teenage girls, 14, 15, 16 years old. And in about the span of a month, I had about 11 different cases. And they were all horrendous. They were all social media based. They were all, I say social media, texting, use of cell phones, use of computers, based in that sort of harassment. And I called the school and asked, what's going on? And as one of my greatest characteristics is I complain a lot, and complaining a lot gets you volunteered a lot. So Carrie Eichelberry at the school, she and I spoke a lot, and she asked if I would put something together to come and talk to the schools, and that's where this started, and that's where I started to see a lot of disturbing trends, and from that point on, I've been speaking at schools each year, numerous schools in different school districts even, talking about these subjects, speaking to parent groups, and next Tuesday, it will be to another group that has asked me to come and speak to them, and I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to do that. And
well, this is kind of unique, too, because it is more, it's not just the kids you're talking to, it's to the community at large and to the parents and about these subjects.
And it's a little twofold, because part of it is about what the kids are going through, what they deal with, the social media aspect of bullying, which is completely different than what we dealt with as kids growing up. And then also the parents. I've seen, just in my experience on the bench, I've seen more parents using social media to harass and disturb the peace of others. It started out with kids, and you'd think that the kids would learn it from their parents. The parents are learning it from their kids, I think. Kids get the technology first, and then the parents figure it out later.
But because the kids are up using their cell phones at, I don't care, 2 o'clock in the morning, your youngster's phone may go ding, 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 and all of a sudden some message may appear on their cell phone. Like you said, as opposed to for you and me, it was at school or after school or in the park someplace that sort of behavior typically went on.
You know, I tell a story, and I'll tell again on Tuesday. It's a case out of, I think it was Connecticut, where a young kid put on Facebook, like this if you hate, and I'll just say John. And the next morning, that John woke up to see 57 kids had liked that post. Now, you think of when we were kids, if we wanted to get 57 kids to all agree with us, how difficult that would be. You think of the rotary phones and how you'd have to start that dial, and when you messed up, start again. Then you get a busy signal, and then just getting a hold of them if they were there at the house, right? That's how difficult it was to get 57 kids.
And that phone was in the living room or in the kitchen where mom and dad could listen.
Correct. Yeah, it would be much more obvious.
And now it's just a click. And so when John went to school the next day, he had 57 bullies that he was dealing with, not the person who posted it, but the person who, all the people that liked it. And that's the difference.
So it's easier to do. It's more kind of anonymous in a way, in that there's a lot of distance between you and the person you're harassing or affecting.
And then social media has made it easier because it worked, like you had to dial that rotary phone and at least think about what you were going to say to John. All I have to do, like you said, is like that one, push button, one button, I'm there.
And it's the group mentality. That's what social media does. I've explained to kids that your social media page is the digital billboard of our time. You want as many people to see it as possible. I know, you know, Brad buys billboards all over town. Why? He wants as many people as possible to see it. That's why you do it. Social media is the same way. So when kids do that, they want as many eyes on there as possible. And when they get a like, that adds to the bullying that happens, because it's now a group bullying, not just the person who posted.
Just because Carrie is the school coordinator for our school Crime Stoppers program, I know that we're getting more tips through the school program than we are through the community program, which is alive and well too. I'm just saying, the kids, because the P3 Tips app is on every Chromebook that the schools put out, the kids have the opportunity to report to the school Crime Stoppers program. And one of the key areas, and I'm quoting this from memory, so I wouldn't say, is it number one, is it number two, is it number five? I just know one of the top areas that kids are reporting on is bullying, cyberbullying, sexting, that sort of thing.
Yeah. That's another thing I talk about, too, is the sexting, because that is something that we didn't deal with as kids. And thank God we didn't have those devices when we were kids. But that's something that's very real that kids are dealing with that we never had to even think about. And parents, who are always behind the technology, right, now have to confront this issue and understand what their children are doing. And so on Tuesday, I'll be talking about things that parents can do, apps that they can get that actually, one thing that kids don't like to hear from me, and something that the 15-year-old Russ Vaclaw would hate the 45-year-old Russ Vaclaw for saying this, but
the kids are all in school. They can't hear you.
Okay. You know, the kids don't own those phones. Those phones are the property of the parent, and a child cannot legally own property. And so there is control that parents can have over those devices, just as they did when mom would come in and check my room, and you know, they'd see what I had in my room, what was going on.
Of course.
Parents need to do that with their children's phones and just keep tabs on them. Not, you don't want to be too intrusive. Children need to have their freedom, but there's still the responsibility of the parents to monitor what's going on, and they have that responsibility as parents.
Yeah. State laws differ, but some of them are pretty exacting on penalties on the parent who owns the phone that the kid used.
Correct.
So much of it sounds like is about educating people and awareness of what's going on and what's out there. I mean, I asked my son, who's in middle school, what he thought of bullying. And I know through the year I've heard a couple of things that happened, but I asked him and he's like, oh, I can't think of any right now. You know, so their awareness of it is really key to protect the whole community, I think. And talk a little bit about what happens in the schools and have you seen things change since you started doing the program?
Well, one of my favorite compliments that I've received was from Carrie Eichelberry, and she said that her teacher overheard a couple of kids talking about something that was being done on social media, and that they said, stop, or we won't be able to go and do this or do that. Because what happens is if you have a serious situation of bullying and they come and get a protective order, it could keep another child from going to certain school events.
Well, sure.
I know of situations where it's kept people being on certain sports teams because they had a protective order against them because they were bullying. And so I think the kids, what I've always enjoyed is the education part of this, where you're explaining the law and the legal consequences to kids that they would otherwise not know. And it's always kind of I wouldn't say it's funny to see, but it is interesting to see when I start talking about sexting and the legal consequences of that, all the squirming in the seats that goes on in the schools and what the kids didn't realize now or before that they do realize now. I've enjoyed that. I've enjoyed the conversations that I've had with the kids. And again, going to talking Tuesday night with parents at this event, I really look forward to that because I think parents have a huge role to play in this and educating their children. I don't know that parents necessarily know the legal consequences of cyberbullying and the use of social media and what it's doing to their children and the consequences of that, which are real. And there's a lot of pain that goes into this bullying that's happening today because of the group mentality. A child walking down the hallway and whoever liked that post, the dozens to hundreds of people who liked that post, those are all bullies to that person. Those are all people that helped pick on that person. And educating people to understand that is very important to me. And I enjoy doing it. I love talking to the kids about these things. And I'm going to enjoy love talking to more parents about this.
Yeah. And so this event you mentioned is coming up on Tuesday, March 12th in Dewey at the Heritage Theater Cafe, I understand. When is it again?
Kelly, she's
in charge?
Show.
Oh, okay. It's your event.
The event is next Tuesday, March 12th at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
And we are partnering with our friends at the Heritage Theater. We're super excited about that, to have space where kids and parents can come to listen to what Judge Vaclaw has to say. And I think also from the perspective of being a minister here in town and also a member of the Oklahomans for Equality Bartlesville Board, it is really important for us to all be in the same room. I think it's important for parents to realize that they are not struggling with these issues of bullying and all teen angst kind of issues by themselves.
Right.
You know, I hear...
Well, it raises so many issues of how do I hear about it from my child? How do I respond? Do I talk to the other parent? Do I, you know, how... Because there's a lot to navigate there that I'm sure you see different than the judge in your role.
Right. And I think for parents to be able to see the other parents that are engaged in trying to help their kids to be good citizens, mm-hmm. trying to keep their kids safe, and I think it opens up... opportunities for parents to be in contact with each other and say, you know, I saw this on my child's Facebook feed. Have you seen this? Does this seem like a safe thing? Do you know this other person? And I think it is an opportunity for parents to have sort of that network around mm-hmm. them.
Yeah. Well, it's part of the community now, right? I mean, you were talking before, it was the rotary dial and playing in the neighborhood, and now there's the social world, the games online, and they do so much through this technology that it's
overwhelming. Right. And for us at Oklahomans for Equality Bartlesville, we realize that for LGBTQ plus youth, they are three times more likely to experience mm-hmm. cyberbullying and bullying through texting.
Yeah.
And for us as a community to understand that there are groups within our community that are more likely to be affected by bullying and by lots of other things, I think is important for us to strategize and to think about ways that we can work together to keep everyone safe. We'll do nothing but make this community a safer place, a more welcoming and inclusive place for everybody. And we want very much to do that.
That's good. Because you're starting a good conversation there, too, and getting people
involved. We appreciate Russ very much.
Well, that's good. Well, so the seminar, you give these at schools typically. Is there a regular program then you do? You have a PowerPoint slide, so you really take people through the concepts. And tell us just a little bit about the detail of your presentation.
Yeah, it is a PowerPoint presentation. It's something that I've kind of compiled and worked on and changed over the years as things have changed. Understand that 10 years ago when I started this, it was Facebook, mm-hmm. right? Twitter was not what it was. In fact, I think in my first PowerPoint, it was Facebook and MySpace, if anyone even remembers MySpace. But the changing technology causes this conversation to change. You now have Snapchat, where images and comments disappear.
Mm-hmm. And there are other apps that are kind of built specifically for talking about what goes on at your school.
Correct.
And talking about bad-mouthing teachers and everything else.
Correct. Yeah. And rating teachers and things like that. Yeah, so the presentation has evolved, And typically what I do is I go through the process of how I got there, and then I give examples. I give real-life examples of what has happened in our community using social media. And I've asked the victims in those cases if they wouldn't mind if I were able to, because it is a public hearing that I have in court. However, I don't want to do this to these people and re-victimize them by taking their evidence and using it. So I always ask for permission, and it's amazing to me how many have been so willing because they don't want it to happen to somebody else. So they've given me permission to use their posts, the things that they brought into me. And they're horrible, they're awful, they're mean, they're hateful. They are scary, some of them. And I use those and share those with kids and with parents. And then we start talking about the legal consequences, and I give real-life legal consequences. People who are arrested, people who have been charged with bullying, the real-life incidents of children who have taken their own lives, which is the saddest part, and it's very difficult to get through because I'm talking about the age of kids that I'm talking to. It's always been very it gets quiet in the room, and I want that. I want them to hear it. I want them to see that there are real-life consequences for their actions. And so I go through that process of explaining that and then tell them I'd like to think I give some hope and that there is something that they can do. Just last week when I was in the elementary schools, all the hate we talk about, it was very comforting to me to be able to talk about love and talk about how there are people that love these kids. There are people that are looking out for them, schools, the teachers, their parents.
Yeah.
And they need to know that, because that's one of the lessons that we have from bullying, is that kids who are bullied need to know that they are loved, and they need to know they are cared for, and they need to know that they are protected, because without that, that's how we have these incidents that happen in our community. That
Do you also get the opportunity to turn the coin over and strengthen the armor on these kids that as far as that they do have a support system, that there is a way to talk about it, and I'm not minimizing this at all, but it's words. They didn't strike you physically.
Yeah, so what I have some goals for this, and one of them is that I hope they help to take care of each other, because one of the things that you see happening is that group mentality. I always use the example of Karate Kid, if you remember that movie, and Daniel and Johnny and the Cobra Kai.
Judo instructor at the time, I used those examples, maybe not to exactly the same way, paint the fence, that sort of thing.
Right.
But I was teaching judo and at the time, and it works. Those things do get the lesson across.
But the first thing is that other kids need to recognize when it's going on. And some of the best friends that a bully will have is the person who stops them. So they need to step up. They need to help and recognize, hey, you're going to do something bad here. You may get a protective order against you, or you may be charged with something. They need to understand that. And so what I hope is that the kids self-correct, that they self-police. And we've seen some examples of that. I don't know if it happens as much as I would like for it to happen, but it is happening where people are catching each other and saying, hey, don't do that. Those protections are hard for a kid. They want to feel protected. And sometimes they can't rely upon other kids. So there are other methods that we can do to help them. And so when I talk about protective orders and what they need to do to get that done, that's part of the process of my presentation.
Well, very interesting. So if this has caught your interest and you want to learn more, you can come to the anti-bullying seminar with Judge Russell Vaclot next Tuesday, March 12th, from 7 to 8:30 at Heritage Theater Cafe and Pub in Dewey. That's at 306 Don Tyler. He's going to have, take questions after the event, and there's no charge for the event, I understand, right, Kelly? So come on down to that if you're interested at all. I think it's a very interesting subject, and it's so much important that we talk about it, because it really will, I think, be easy. I mean, it's got to stop right there at the point it happens, or in the community with when the bullying happens, if we're going to stop it and make it have the best impact we can in that kind of situation. And because at that point too, the person hopefully can learn that that's not the right approach and correct their own behavior a little bit.
You know, one of the things is, like with all of us here in this room, when we grew up, it was a different way of dealing with these things. It wasn't the same as it is now. It is worse than it was because of the group, the abilities of the group to get involved. And then we're in a much more dangerous society.
And I think the ways in which social media has a tendency to isolate us too, you know,
right.
I mean, when kids are being bullied through texting or through social media, it's in some respects, there's this tendency of the person being bullied to not want to tell anybody, to, you know, not want to admit that this is going on. And it's easy, it's sort of easy for everyone to hide on social media.
Right.
And for us as a community, for us as the adults in the room, to bring this out into the open and to be able to say to kids, unfortunately, lots of people get bullied and we are here to help you. We love you. We aren't going to let this happen to you. We aren't going to let it be a secret, because when things like this are brought out into the open, when light shines on them, that's when problems are solved, and that's when people are able to see that they're truly not alone.
Yeah, very well said. Good stuff. So again, next Tuesday, 7 to 8:30 at Heritage Theater Cafe. Congratulations on a great program and very, very interesting. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Coming to the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Sure.
Thanks for having us.
We're glad to have you.
It's important that these support systems are out there, and that the word is getting out to the teens, to the parents, to grandma, to everybody that cares about these kids.
That's why we had them on this week, and, you know, a little different, but the same thing. So much about Bartlesville is built into these support systems that we have. One of the great things about Bartlesville is the fact that we have a community that will confront these issues and go right at them. And I think that's something that we've done for decades. If you think about the community and the way they've come together, whether it was in Concern or the Mutual Girls Club, the Boys and Girls Club, every one of those organizations, the FFA we were talking about, your church organization and the Environment Oklahoma for Equality, you know, really, so there's a place for everybody, and Bartlesville does have that rich support network. So thank you for what you guys do there. So back to the car business just for a moment here, Charlie.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it is still truck month. It's March. We're right into the heat of that. It's springtime, as you said, with the buds coming out on the trees. I want to encourage everybody to come on down and check out their great deals on trucks. Not just trucks, but all our cars and SUVs too. But it is truck month at Ford. We've got great incentives on those vehicles. All the F-150, Super Duty, Expedition, even the Navigator. We've got a Nautilus in stock now, a couple of Navigators, a great inventory and great deals. There's some really outstanding deals on some leftover units. There are 2018 model year vehicles that we still have left, just a handful of those. And then a couple of vehicles that we've used as loaner vehicles in our service department.
Mm-hmm.
So they're real low miles, but they've got special incentives on them, so we can get you extra discounts on those. On the Toyota side, I brought this up the last few shows, but there's a great lease on Tacoma. If you're in the market for a small pickup truck or love Tacomas, you cannot beat the residual value of your Tacoma right now. The 2019 model has a very high residual, which means basically the guaranteed value of the vehicle at the end of your lease is high, which mm-hmm. means the part of the vehicle you're using is less, and so the payment's often lower. So you can get to a really low payment on that vehicle. If you can structure the lease, a lease is a little different. You have to limit the miles you drive to a certain amount. But as long as you know what that is and can predict it, it can work. And then it's for a certain amount of time, 2 or 3 years typically. At that point, you can walk away or purchase the vehicle. You've got choices.
But that residual value that you're talking about, for those that don't think lease, because we're still in this part of the country learning lease terms, that's the guaranteed purchase value that they get at the end of the lease. You say, this is, you know, what you're going to pay if you want to buy the rest of this vehicle.
That's what drives the lease payment. The lease company says, I'm going to say that'll be worth this at the end, and I'll take the risk on that. You pay your part of it, and I'll take the vehicle back at the end of your use of the vehicle.
And if that residual value is actually more, and I'm just going to use round numbers here, if that lease payment that you guaranteed was, I don't care, $15,000, and the vehicle is actually cash value worth $18,000,
You can leverage that too. You can purchase the vehicle and resell it, or you could do that and trade it in to get another on your next vehicle also.
Okay, so ask those questions next time you're looking at a new vehicle or a different vehicle. That might be something advantageous to you. Check it all out online, dungeonschoice.com.
That's right. And our website. We have all our vehicles posted. Great internet prices on everything. Go check it out.
Car Talk on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1. Again, last invitation. You are invited next Tuesday night at the Heritage Theater Cafe. And find out more from, online.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM, K1.